When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Now, Coop, how you feeling, friend?
A little under the weather. Started off the pre-show warm-up by puking, which is fun.
Puking up some Pepto, which is a bad sign.
Yeah, I'm sorry again. I wasted your Pepto-Bismol.
Listen, if you want to try again, let me know. Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
Right, I'm the best boss ever. Right before Coop goes to urgent care, I make him finish the thing.
Job's got to be done.
He was like, "Can you take me to the hospital?" And you're like, "Nah, here, just use this."
I go, "Listen, yes, I will." Right, I have no problem taking you to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Let's just do it in an hour and a half.
Hour and a half or so.
And you got to fill this bucket up halfway with pee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, if you puke enough to fill the bucket, you get to go to the hospital. If it doesn't fill the bucket, you're not that sick.
Yeah. What do you win? Trip to the hospital, okay?
You're sick? Prove it. Fill this bucket.
Yeah. Because, you know, we are reformed dirtbags. Mm-hmm. And we've all in our day, you know, mm-hmm. not been able to make it to work or what have you for various reasons that were our own fault.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is not that.
Thank God.
But we're still in the days of like, bro, you gotta prove it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're all pretty good, especially now, being like, dude, if I did the crime, I've got to do the time. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if we stay up late drinking, whatever, like, we've got to make it the next day, even if we're dragging our ass.
Always.
To the barf bucket.
Yep.
But this is not that. He may be going into toxic shock and sepsis. You know, organs may be failing. But I think that they can hold out for an hour and a half.
Long enough, yeah.
Okay. Okay, and if they can't, you know, make sure they do. Do you know what I mean?
He looks great for dying, doesn't he?
He really does.
Yeah,
it's a little sweaty.
Yeah.
At least I'm always pale, so I don't look any paler.
The clammy look is good on you. You look great.
You know it's bad when Ross comes in and is like, man, I think he needs to go. Do you know what I mean? Because
I'll stick it out. I'll be fine.
You'll be fine, buddy. Right?
This is going to be uncharted territory for me because I'm doing the show dead sober.
Right?
I don't think I've done that before.
Right? Not even a little mama's speedball, which I got a lot of comments from.
Oh, yeah.
One of which, my mother. I said, get off the boards, Mom. Jeez, like this show, you know, I'm my own woman, you know? Like,
what did she say?
It was just like, do you know what I mean?
Jesse,
like,
do you need
are
to call
you
me?
Okay? Yeah. But yeah, she's pretty good at knowing that, like, maybe I was serious, wink, maybe I wasn't, wink.
That's one good thing about anything we say on the show. After the fact, we can say, well, it was a joke.
It was a joke. I was playing
serious.
A character.
Yeah.
That character is myself and everything is true, but still, we do it for the people. Whoa, bud, you all right? God bless. Are we recording? Okay. All right. So this case
at least it wasn't another false start.
This case is a fun one. This one I think we can trick Joel until the very end.
I'm hoping so.
Don't you think?
Yeah, because I think this one's going to hit fairly close to home for him.
Because even I, when I saw it, the Dateline back in the day, was like, I feel like I know, but no, right?
Yeah.
Am I just being crazy? But we can get right into it. A couple of teasers for you. It has everything we love. Right? Miners.
Oh, yeah. Love the miners.
We love a miner. Ohio.
Oh, great state.
Bel Air. Bel Air, Ohio.
Yeah. The good Bel Air.
The good Bel Air. And just some, like, fun love triangle, a fun murder mystery, whodunit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good one.
I think it'll be fun.
It'll be fun, and I think we should get right into it for Coop's sake. And also, Coop, you know you can't get up. Barf know, Bucket is for that. Yeah.
That would be awesome. I hope it happens.
Oh, my gosh. Joel has been stalling because
I'll feel bad for any of the listeners that are grossed out by that kind of thing, but it'll also be kind of funny. I think it'll be good for the show.
Ruben is hoping to see puke come out of your mouth.
If things start getting boring, I'll just force myself to throw up.
And it shouldn't be hard, right?
Yeah, spice it up. Oh, no, it wouldn't take much at all.
friend.
Very few things in the world are considered to be universal truths. Whether it's food, music, or movies, everyone has different tastes. But regardless of your views on food or entertainment, one thing nearly everyone can agree on is this. There is nothing sexier than a miner. Miners are often eroticized in the media, and rightfully so. The combination of the way they dress, the way they act, and their inherent value to society just makes them hot. If we're being truly honest with ourselves, we've all had some type of fantasy involving a miner.
Go ahead.
In some cases, we're pursuing the miner, and others, we're the ones being pursued. And maybe even imagine being the miner in the situation yourself. So we don't kink shame here. No matter how you picture it, there's something inherently attractive about the brave men and women that risk their lives every day by delving deep into the earth in order to extract the valuable resources we need to sustain our quality of life.
What were you thinking?
Sick fuck. Miner attracted people. You know that that's the new term?
They're just into people that dig?
No, they're we're not calling them pedophiles anymore.
Oh, that kind of
word. I know. And I don't like it.
Is that what you guys thought I was talking about?
Just Joel. I knew.
I don't know. I saw your face. You're making the same face I was making. We both thought he was talking about kids.
No.
Don't tell me what I'm thinking. Don't tell me what I'm thinking. Mom, okay?
It was the sweet siren song of loving a miner that drove the subjects of our story today. Joel, get your head out of the gutter.
Joel, you know who we're talking about, right now? Coal miners?
Coal miner.
All right. Okay. Jeez.
That drove the subjects of our story today to run themselves aground on the rocky shores of heartbreak and murder.
Yeah. What's
that?
What
the fuck was that? What is it?
For real, what is that?
Yeah. It sounds like wind or something.
Hello?
Oh, God.
What is it?
It's a weed whacker.
Oh, God.
Holy shit.
Right now? Okay. Okay.
Oh, thank
Jesus, dude.
Yeah, that sounded weird.
Can I tell you, I love that you went right towards it with the bat. Good for you. I was about to run out the front door.
I thought that thing was a prop.
Joel, I feel very safe right now.
That's good.
Holy
Jesus Christ, where's he going now?
Holy shit. Now listen, you guys need to know we do this show alone in the studio.
And the studio's in a fairly secluded place.
Fairly secluded. And, you know, it's old or not old or... Bro, do we need to be weed whacking the building?
I think he's just going around the edge.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know what I was thinking, but I thought it was like someone cutting my trailer in half or something.
It sounded like that, and then maybe Boa breathing too. I was like, there's a beast in here.
It sounded like it was coming from in the room.
Okay. I'm a pussy, and you guys are badass, and it's good to know that. We were all tested, and I failed, and you guys did the right thing.
I was going to go throw up on him.
You were. You're like, right, give me in front. Yep. Hoo-wee. All right. I think we're good. What's happening now?
Joel just can't sit
was
still today.
Was it not recording?
No, it is, but if we're going to show videos of the
Joel,
it's just the laptop's not plugged into Switch 4, that's all. So if I'm gonna put images up,
okay,
I just have to plug
this all up. Needs to be left in the show because I need people to know what I'm dealing with. I've got a barf bucket, I've got a producer. I mean, who on his best days runs towards danger. So I mean, I can't even say shit to him now. Because he was about to literally save our lives, and so were you.
It's very surprising that you do come back week after week for this bullshit.
I know, but I just love you guys so much. And it's like, you know, you gotta... It's unconditional, clearly. It is unconditional love, guys. And I don't know if you felt that in your lives, but you have it right here with me. Sorry if that was distracting to anyone. But, you know, sometimes whatever's on the show is on the show.
That's right.
We're
back in. I think the weed whacker's gone.
Or it's going to come around this side.
Yeah.
So that should be
fun. Well, next he's going to come in the building and start weed whacking the carpet.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like, for sure. All right. So, as we said, just like you guys did just then, miners, you know, run themselves aground on the rocky shores of... I was going to try and connect something. I'm not going to. All right. They're brave, basically. And you just were. And, you know, that was perfect.
Okay.
Joel, you're essentially a whacker.
The weed whacker was perfect as well.
That's good. Okay, so we can actually pretend that was on purpose.
That was on purpose.
Because the story starts off with a weed whacker being returned.
Being returned on the evening of May 7th, 2017. What a great year, huh? Lots of cool things happened then. David Kinney and his wife, Sherry, took their 13-year-old daughter to visit a close friend they referred to as Uncle Brad. They needed to return a weed whacker. So they all...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's weird.
I know.
What a coincidence that a weed whacker attacked us right now.
I know. It's a sim world. Once at Uncle Brad's house, they noticed that the front door was partially ajar. Upon entering, they saw that the house had been ransacked. Cupboards and drawers had been opened and their contents strewn across the ground. Concerned for their friend, David and his family called out for Brad but received no response. After briefly searching the house, it was obvious that something was wrong. Sherry asked David to grab his pistol from their car and check the rest of the house while she stayed with her daughter. David made his way into the basement where he made a horrifying discovery. Mm. His best friend was laying on the ground surrounded by a pool of blood. David immediately yelled for his wife to call 911, and a short time later, police and paramedics arrived.
Does he die?
Sadly, Brad was pronounced fun and flirty. No, he was pronounced dead at the scene. I know. He had been shot twice in the back of the head, execution style.
Oh, shit.
So let's play, if we can, and you have it queued up.
I think
The beginning of that video. We'll listen to the 911 call that Sherry makes.
Okay.
911, where is your emergency?
Hi, what's it say there?
Where are you at?
Wagner?
Okay, what's going on?
I don't even know.
You don't know what's going on?
Is he breathing? Oh my god. Mark
Okay, is that your husband?
My husband's freaking out, yes.
Okay.
My friend. This is my daughter. Elizabeth, get outside!
Ma'am.
She's on the floor. There's blood everywhere. Oh my God, he has a blood clot wound in the back of his head.
What is your name?
My name is Sherry Kane.
Sherry. You don't see a gun?
No, I don't see a gun.
Okay. Listen, I need you and your husband to back out of the residence and wait outside for the officers. Do you hear me?
All right.
Okay, stop it there. Do you want to go into, they call, the police arrive and talk to the family. Do you want to play that one as well?
Yeah, let's listen to some of that.
All right, so go to
that
second timestamp. And the cops come. They told the family to come outside. So then it's David, his daughter, and Sherry. They're talking to the police. So, yeah, they're trying to give kind of a overview of what happened, who he was, who Brad was to the family, very close friend.
Yeah, but at this point, I think Brad and David had been friends for like 9 years,
eight or nine years
or something like that.
Really, really close. Calling him Uncle Brad, like the family, this is his best friend.
Yeah, they spent holidays together. He was essentially a member of the family.
Yes.
I can't more believe that.
How long have you guys been looking?
9 years.
Oh, yeah.
My kids call him Uncle. We're supposed to go to the Bahamas with us in August.
Best buds.
Yeah, he's one of my best friends.
He met him coal mining classes years ago, and we just took him in his family.
I'm trying not to freak out. I'm sorry. I can't possibly see him.
He just found his friend, you know? We forgive a hysterical man. The weed eater.
The weed eater?
Yes, sir. We come to the basement door and knock. Because my daughter knocked on the front door. I told her, I said, Cisco, knock on the back door. She went up and knocked on the back door. Door was open.
So it was the back door.
And,
was
and he had...
The kitchen was scattered. There was stuff all over. I told my wife, I said, Sherry, something's wrong.
When the police look in the basement... Okay. So that's just a little bit of, what they found.
Yeah, the scene when the police first arrived.
Yes.
It seems legit. The phone call seemed legit to me, and he...
Oh, yeah.
Seems legit to me.
Yeah, they...
Yeah, no. I mean, he's hysterical. So, Brad Dennis McGarry, the man that was found dead, was a good old boy from the heartland of America. He grew up in Louisville, Ohio. What up, Ross? Which is small enough that calling it a town is an overstatement.
Dumber.
According to Ohio, yeah, they make them good out there, huh?
Oh, yeah. Lots of astronauts, too.
According to the 2020 census, the population of Louisville was 184. Damn.
That is a small
town. That
is town.
Not a town, dude.
Like, I thought I grew up in a small town because the population was 1,200, but 184?
That's a village. That would be a village,
I think,
right?
Ohio was like 800 when I grew up there.
I mean, that's like an apartment complex.
Yeah.
Well, apartment complexes have more people in them than that.
Yes. Meaning that any romantic relationship was the incestual equivalent of Russian roulette. Luckily... Brad made it out of Louisville without knocking up any of his cousins.
That we know of.
Here we go. This is where we find out how Coop feels about every town in Middle America. Throughout most of his life, Brad was a bit of a square peg in a round hole. Raised by a single mother, he often found himself the odd man out against his peers in school. When the other boys were playing football and chasing girls, he was helping his mother pick out dresses and debating which member of New Kids on the Block was the hottest.
Fuck Jordan yeah. Knight, by the way.
That's 100%.
Yeah, that's a right.
That was my boyfriend. My boyfriend.
Second place, maybe Donnie.
Was that the Little Boston?
Oh, no. That was...
What band are you guys
talking
about?
That's Wahlberg's brother,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, Donnie Wahlberg.
Okay, you liked a Donnie, huh?
I don't remember who was that little guy? What was his name? Because he had a resurgence in his career.
Yes.
What is it?
New Kids on the Block.
Ruben
is screaming at the... he knows who we're talking about. He's screaming at the...
He's got himself wrapped up in his New Kids on the Block sleeping bag, just naming each one of them
how
off.
How do you not know? Wow, right?
Are those the ones that wore their pants backwards?
No, that was Criss-Cross.
No, that was Criss-Cross.
Oh, Criss-Cross was what I was into at the time.
Criss-Cross will make you
jump.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Mac Daddy and the Daddy Mac.
Mac Dad will make you.
That's what we should have started off with. Ooh, that should have been our hype song, some Criss-Cross. Next week, that's what we'll do. Yeah. We got to remember that.
And we have to wear our pants backwards for that episode.
Oh, cool. Or we could tell everybody we are.
I'm going to.
Oh, and you can actually.
I might actually be, because these shorts.
You do it by mistake pretty often.
Yeah. Can't tell which way is the front.
He has to look at where the skid marks are, and that's where.
Yeah.
That's how he knows the front and the back.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then he puts those on the outside. Luckily.
If you flip
and
them
I consider
inside.
That showering.
Yes.
If you flip
yes.
them inside out, they last another couple weeks.
Luckily, Brad made out of Louisville without knocking up. Okay. New Kids on the Block. His first career choice was cosmetology. What up? Me too. Which he soon ditched to become a hairstylist. Wait. Was cosmetology. Which he soon ditched to become a hairstylist.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
What's the joke?
Well, he was going to be a cosmetologist, and then he decided to start cutting hair instead. Is there something I'm missing?
What is cosmetology?
Cosmetology is makeup, isn't it?
No. That's your... If you're a cosmetologist, you get your license as a cosmetologist. It's a year every day. 1,300 hours, I think. And then you are licensed to do hair. And that's where you
what?
Learn...
What? I thought cosmetologists were like makeup and skin and stuff.
No.
They're not the ones
that's
that
that's esthetician.
Facials.
That's 3 months.
Okay, you know what? For the first time ever, I believe he didn't know that Electric Church was a gay place.
I mean...
Coop's fucking
like
straight.
We
Coop's
always,
straight.
We always think... I know. We always think of him as like true North. I mean, he literally knows everything and we're dum-dums, right? This was one
that,
time...
That blew my mind. Then where does the term cosmetics come from?
Cosmetics?
Yeah, that's makeup, isn't it? Is it not makeup?
I mean, cosmetics is makeup. Yeah.
Hey, come on in.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Not bad.
Are you recording?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Did you come to watch the show?
So, my husband's a huge fan. Listen to you guys. Okay. And my daughter was over next door at a birthday party at the Pottery Place. And he was like, can you pop in and see if they have the...
Oh, perfect. There's not usually anyone here. So
Hell yeah. Well, perfect. We'll hook you up. Nice to meet you, too.
Well, thank you for supporting and coming in.
I'll put it on Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. With all the kids. Have all the kids holding one.
Yeah.
Bye.
There's nothing better for a kid's birthday party than a case of Hard
AF.
You've
got to have drinks. I mean, anytime there's a dry kid's party.
Oh.
Okay.
That's a kid's party I'm not going to.
This is becoming like the most craziest mess of a show. I love it, though.
I love it.
Yeah.
Did you get all that?
Yep. Didn't stop.
All right. Didn't quit. Never quit. Okay. So we were explaining cosmetology.
Wait, should we say what just happened? Lots of different.
Oh, for audio, what just happened is someone was next door at a kid's party and sent his wife over here to see if there was any hard AF because he was having problems dealing with the kids.
That's fucking
very
awesome.
Very nice lady.
Yeah.
And
she's a good wife, tell you that. Taking care of her husband.
In this heat?
Oh.
This is awesome.
That sounds like a Ross. You go out in the heat and give me a drink, please. I'm going to stay inside at the kids' party, at the pottery
kids' party.
We love it, though. Come in anytime. So cosmetology, yes, encompasses the art of, I don't know.
Oh,
so you learn hair.
Yeah, so basically
you do
what
a little
you said,
bit of hair. You do a little bit of esthetician. You kind of cover all the bases that everything that happens. You do nails. Everything that happens in the salon is cosmetology. Then there's like esthetician, there's nail tech, there's different ones. But if you do the whole 13 hours, you are licensed to do everything.
1,300 hours.
1,300 hours.
I had...
So like, but you
honestly,
said
I had no idea.
He went to school to be
sure
a filmmaker and then quit...
To make films.
To become an actor.
Okay, so yeah, I
shoot movies.
Corrected my,
yeah. Okay.
My mistake. I'm sorry. I didn't know what
time,
cosmetology
first
was.
Time ever.
It's the first time ever that we've been able to, like, tell you you're wrong. So I'm sorry that we're making a meal of it, no, but it never happened.
But also, I understand. The silver lining is it's the first time also that I believe you're straight.
Boom. Confirmed.
Yeah, you proved it.
Electric Church is not a gay bar.
No, you just, you're just so fucking straight. You don't understand anything gay, which is cool. That's like me being, I know I'm straight because I can't see pink.
Oh, true. And you don't dress all that great either.
Okay. Nope. All right. So got that out of the way. Nobody cares. Coop's everybody's turned off the podcast at this point. So it's just us three hanging out.
Shit show.
So he became a hairstylist after going to cosmetology school. To put it bluntly, Brad was as gay as the day is long, okay?
In case you didn't pick up on that.
If you didn't know. So, Middle America. Oh, sorry. That's Coop.
Middle America is the heart and soul of our country. The East Coast and West Coast can flex as much as they want, but without the stable foundation maintained by the rednecks and hillbillies, the U.S. would have been annexed by the overly apologetic commies in Canada. In this part of the U.S., the men are men, the women are men, and the children either grow up to be men or die in tragic farming accidents. Overall, it wasn't the easiest place to be a dude that claps the cheeks of another dude. Goes without saying that Brad had some hurdles to jump.
Clapping cheeks is always a fun one,
one
right?
Of my favorite terms.
Yes.
Giving fabulous haircuts in rural Ohio wasn't bringing in enough money for Brad to live comfortably. With the skills he had gained from his experience as a cosmetologist and a barber, which I swear to God...
No, but you were right.
Oh, Joel, you can't use my bucket. Get
That's
your own.
That's going to make him puke, dude. He just needed it. His filmmaker eye... Sorry for audio. Joel just puked in the barf bucket.
My barf bucket.
Yeah, so... Barber, you're actually right with this, except for barber, you have to go for another additional year to be a barber.
So what, you can cut ladies' hair, but you have to go to more school to cut a guy's hair?
Yeah, because you're dealing with blade for, like, you do all of that, like, hot, you know, and then it's a little bit more precise.
Oh, great. Here comes the leaf
God
blower.
God fucking bless.
This
dude.
Is a fucking show.
I mean, my God. Okay. Here
well,
we go.
Feels,
we've got to
feels
get
like we're in Middle America. People are out there doing some work and...
Yep.
We're going to push through.
With the skills he had gained from his experience as a cosmetologist, he made the obvious transition into one of the hardest and most dangerous professions on the planet. In 2011, he enrolled in classes to become a coal miner.
And at this point, he's in Bel Air, right?
Yeah.
Bel Air, Ohio.
Moved in with his auntie and uncle in Bel Air, I think.
Yes, which I don't know if people know this, but... Coal mining, like, you can make a shit ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't
making
a lot. Yeah,
it's up there with, like, offshore drilling and stuff.
Yeah, because you're risking your life. No one wants to do it. But in this town, most people were coal miners, right?
Yeah.
Like, just because it was
It was a coal mining town.
Yeah, it's one of the towns that pops up around the
mine.
So
he was, like, not making enough as a hairstylist to get a house and live on his own. So he became a coal miner and is making... a lot of money.
Got to be like six figures.
Dude, yeah,
no question.
He's flush.
You know what this guy reminds me of? Fucking Zohan. Meet the Zohan.
Oh,
he's like a badass coal miner, but he likes his style and cut hair. You know?
Yeah, and he's gay, and
that is just such a wild transition to go from cutting hair to being like, oh no, gonna be a coal miner now.
Coal miner.
I mean, there are some benefits to it. Spending all day getting sweaty down in a hole with a bunch of other
with
burly
a bunch
dudes.
Of dudes.
Now that's hot,
right? He's like, I think I could handle it.
But can they handle me?
Right.
Yeah. He ain't mining coal. He's mining cock.
Okay.
Moving on.
Yep.
Yeah. Could have been worded better. During Brad's time learning the ropes of working as a miner, he met his soon-to-be best friend, David Kinney. For most of his life, Brad had become accustomed to being ridiculed by his peers due to his sexual preferences. As one of the few people that accepted Brad for who he was, David soon became his nearest and dearest friend. It wasn't long until Brad essentially became a member of David's family.
Brad's close relationship with David Kinney and his family made his sudden and violent death all the more shocking. While they recovered from the tragic loss of their friend, the local police began investigating Brad's murder. At first glance, the crime scene looked like a classic case of burglary gone wrong. However, upon closer inspection, police realized that nothing had actually been stolen. These stage scenes that we talk about all the time, why do they not just, like, take, you know what I mean? They just pull out, you know, right, the stuff, and they don't take it, or they, you know, just go crazy in the place, like completely fucking.
Well, if you're gonna steal, and you have to kill someone, you're not gonna steal. You're gonna get out of there because you just failed your job.
You were looking. They found you, and you
shoot them. You run. Yeah. You're not gonna continue to steal.
Could be, yeah, with like an interrupted robbery or interrupted burglary, then that might be the case.
We should add it to, you know, how we're doing the, like, how to kill your, you know, get away with killing your husband. Mm-hmm. We should add that to it. How to stage a realistic burglary gone wrong, because no one can do it right.
And it's a really important part of the process overall.
It really is.
Yeah, if you're going to stage it and you have to kill someone, steal some shit also to make it. Yeah, just steal
literally
some shit.
Literally just steal some shit.
It's that easy.
But it made sense to the police at this point because he did have a lot of money, right? Like, and valuables and, like...
Yeah, I mean, with the...
He was a rich dude.
Salary that he was bringing in. He was also known to...
Fuck
keep
dudes.
Cash and stuff like that at his house. And he had just had a fairly big job done at his house. I think they built a new fence or something like that. And he had
cash to give
laying
them.
Around from that also.
Ooh, imagine getting a handy from those coal miner hands. Woo!
Rough.
You're going to have calluses on your wiener, too.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Taking into account Brad had been shot execution style, this led investigators to believe that the person responsible for the murder was someone Brad knew. They began looking into his close friends and associates. One of the first suspects was one of Brad's former boyfriends named Scott or Scotty. Scott was the son of one of Brad's co-workers at the time, so a coal miner's son.
Oh, God, you know that kid had a fun upbringing.
And gay, right? The two had a long-running, on-again, off-again relationship that had just recently come to an end. He was soon ruled out as a suspect due to the fact that he was already in jail the day Brad was murdered. Police move on to other leads. Do we talk about the fence being fixed in that possibly?
It's not in the notes, but that was another
suspicion.
One of the people working on the fence thought that, like, they might have seen that he had valuables laying around or that he had cash laying around, and it might have been one of them that went.
Or if he's like, oh, let me get my cash to pay you, you're like, do you have more? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Dude, I like this guy.
They're looking into.
He was banging coal miners, too. Isn't that awesome?
What I will say about Brad in this story is he is lovable, beloved. There's not one person that doesn't love him. He becomes a part of every family that he, you know, person that he is friends with. They're like a part of the family and being called uncle. And
that's awesome.
He's funny and fun and generous. And he's just like a great dude. And to be out and gay, you know, doing what he does, living in this small town.
And still being so nice, even after putting up with all the shit that he most likely had to put up with. And if you look at pictures of him, he does look like a teddy bear. He looks like somebody who's just super friendly and
he can do your hair, and he's fun.
And he's tough as nails. Yeah,
he would have been friends.
I think he's sweet because he was pulling tail at a coal miner. Like, he infiltrated the straightest place ever. It's like when a dude infiltrates, like, you know, a straight dude becomes a cheerleader.
Sure.
It's kind of like, that.
It's kind of like
but
that.
Way, sneaks way in fucking under the manlier, radar. Which is pretty cool that it's gay, but it's tougher. That's all I was trying to say. It's tough that he's pulling tail at in a coal mine. That's
it's
all.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah, and that's all you're going to say.
I'm done talking
that
for the rest,
all you're
the rest
gonna
of the show.
Say. You have hit your quota, friend. Just kidding. Go ahead.
One of the most promising leads came when police questioned one of Brad's family members. On the day of his murder, Brad had brunch. Go figure. Had brunch with some family and friends.
Lots of brunch.
Oh, tons. I bet brunch every single Sunday. Boozy brunch every Sunday, for sure.
I'd go with him.
Yep.
While there, he excitedly told them about his plans to meet a guy named DJ later that day, and they were going to take a quote-unquote nap together. Nap in this context obviously meant butt stuff, so police now had their next suspect.
So do you want to play that 502 then?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
So this is the family member that came in and told them about the day that he was murdered, leaving the brunch and what he said and everything.
Yeah, I think it's his cousin and also one of the people that helped crack the case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we went to Brandy's. We were sitting around the table. It was just me and Brad and Heather, which is another cousin of mine. And he made a comment how this DJ guy, he was coming over. Brad's intent was it was romantic. He made a joke about taking a nap. And it wasn't taking a nap. He was insinuating that they were having sex. It was like quotation marks.
This was Sunday.
This was Sunday.
He was killed.
Yes.
What time did he leave?
Between 1:30 and 2.
Really?
Yes, he was supposed to.
I've heard that.
He was dropping all the tuxes off. I also know that he was married. They've been married.
Who told you that?
Brad did.
Brad told you.
Yeah. She, being the wife, didn't know all this time. They've been doing this for years.
Oh, from
what
shit.
I understand, the two of them, Brad and DJ, kind of, I don't know if they laid low or they completely.
All right. So we can stop here. So we've
Who's
got.
That, hunk?
We've got a. There, look at him.
That's
got
good
a little.
Old Brad.
What are these? This thing? Whatever.
He looks like a coal miner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have a Libre piercing. I got it when I was like, I think I was 16 years old, without my parents' permission. They were out of, like, they were on some vacation somewhere and left for a week. And while they were gone, I knew a guy that was friends with some people that worked at a piercing shop in Isla Vista. Went over there
oh
and got a Libre
God,
piercing.
Oh, my God, Isla Vista.
Oh, good
I
old,
can remember Ivy.
Good
dude.
Old Isla Look. Vista.
Ooh.
Had a lot of fun and hazy memories there. A
lot of STDs.
I think that's where I got my first STD, too. First piercing and first
baby's
STD.
First STD.
Same week, also.
Everybody got their first STD from Isla Vista.
Oh, that's, hell yeah.
That's why they call it HIV instead of just IV.
Yep.
Further questioning of Brad's friends and family revealed that DJ was keeping their relationship a secret. His reason for keeping it under wraps was because DJ was married with children. Unlike Brad, DJ was not ready to come out of the closet just yet. It was also revealed that his secret relationship had been going on for quite some time. And before police could uncover the identity of Brad's mystery lover, one of Brad's cousins beat him to the punch.
At this point, they've looked at a lot of different avenues, too. So, like, because he's gay, they were like, maybe there was, it's a hate crime. They interviewed his coworkers. And another cool thing about Brad is, like, they were just like, he was, like, we were all fine with it. He, you know, he was openly gay. We all, you know, he would like pinch people on the butt and give them shit and like keep his shirt unbuttoned and was really like openly out, even with this like group of supposedly homophobic, which according to all of them, they weren't. They were like, we were fine with it. You'd actually be surprised like how fine we all were, you know.
Oh yeah, we'd give him a hard time every now and then for being a queer, but he was a good feller.
They say he smelled good all the time. He would give us some shit and kind of jokingly hit on us and stuff, but
and
they
he gave
loved
the
him.
Warmest hugs.
Yeah,
just the best.
Yep. And best. It would just creep on down, you know, and we'd say, Brad, quit.
Sometimes you'd like, wake
oh,
up
you
and he'd be sucking
again.
Your dick.
Yeah, and you'd go, well, I love that guy. You know what I mean? He's just so giving.
Just so
giving. Then that lead of it being a hate crime or somebody that didn't like him, it's just like they couldn't find anyone that even had a problem with him being gay in this small, you know,
yeah, and I
Ohio
think even,
town. So like that was
the guy that he had broken up with, the guy Scott that had the on again, off again relationship, like they probably would have ended up getting back together at some point.
Yeah. So after Brad had left the family brunch on the day of his murder, his cousin got curious about who this DJ guy was that Brad was so excited to see. After doing some internet detective work, the cousin discovered that DJ's full name was...
Or what DJ's full name was.
What DJ's full name was. Brad's secret lover was none other than David Kinney.
I don't know who that is.
The guy that was returning the weed whacker?
Oh. His best friend.
His best friend, dude! Did you know that?
No.
I feel like you knew that.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Sometimes you're smart. I'm cyberbullying you. I'm sorry. I'm cyberbullying you. 2 days after Brad's murder, David was brought in for questioning. Police also took David's phone, on which they discovered many texts between David and Brad that confirmed their secret relationship.
Oh, shoot.
David admitted that he had been going to Brad's house earlier that day, but Brad wasn't home at the time. As the interrogation went on, David began changing his story.
So I think I might have had a tab open on your laptop.
Yep.
That should be at that part of the interrogation where the cop approaches him about the stuff that he found on the phone.
Okay. And I want to say too, David, I've never, this is probably the most cringe interrogation because this guy is acting so gay, dude. He's just like, he's crying. He's using in interrogations where people are lying, they'll sometimes, when they're trying to think of an answer, they'll start crying because they're just so distraught and then not be able to answer. I'm so sorry. That kind of, he does that so fucking much. The cop all but like slaps him in the face. Like, just fucking stop it, dude.
Yeah, it's like,
and imagine knowing, like, as the cop, you already know what's going on, and this guy is just like pulling this shit. Anyways, let's play this part.
In Alabama, you guys, my wife got that up before, around before. I mean, that was, when was the last time you guys fooled me up? It's been a while. It hasn't been recently. I know that.
Say what's on your phone? The guy, the video you took of the guys having sex? Is that Brad and you, or?
The video I took.
You told your family.
I don't know.
The machine we use is.
Yes, sir, I understand.
It brings all of the
devices and stuff.
Well, it
sucked
the whole phone out.
Yes, sir.
Even the stuff he deleted.
Yes, sir, I understand.
So there's some text messages, too.
Yes, sir, I understand.
Kind of sounds like you and Brad were boyfriend and boyfriend.
Oh, no, sir. We weren't boyfriend and boyfriend. It was.
You can, kind of a shock to us. And like I said, he just was telling me when I was getting water.
No, I understand.
To tell you, Bud, when's the last time you had sex with him?
We never had sex. We would just pull around with each other.
It's nothing to be ashamed about. Are you ashamed about it?
No, sir. But
what? What the bitch?
He does this the whole
time. Yeah.
Was Brad in love with you, Dave?
I couldn't tell you that he was in love with you. I mean, he did the whole, all right, bud, love you, I love you too kind of thing. Like, you could ask my son when we left Saturday.
He was calling him in his trash can. That's going to the lab.
Oh. Yes, sir.
I got a feeling your DNA is going to be on that condom.
Oh, no, sir.
No? You sure?
Yes, sir.
Never?
No, sir.
We raw dogged. That's why.
When the when the cop first approaches him about it, he sits down. He's like, "So, found some stuff on your phone. And how close were you and Brad?" He's like, "Oh, we were very close." He's like, "Well, how close?" He's like, "Oh, we're very close." He's like, "How did you guys have sex with each other?" And the guy's finally like,
"It's like,
well, you know, back in the day, you know, a long time ago, he tried some stuff on me, and you know, we."
This kid is such a weasel. Although, you know, at this point, we don't know, right? It's just he's the last one to see him.
Yeah.
That day. Got some text messages of wanting to meet up. Maybe he knows something or, you know, who did it or he saw something or whatever. So they're giving him a chance to say, like, what else is it?
He found out Brad was cheating on him with another guy. That condom was
someone else's.
Someone else's. So he went and killed him for it. It's betrayal.
Pulls it out of the trash.
So yeah. David, that's like I said, mine. David is changing his story. After first claiming that he had left when he noticed Brad wasn't home, David then changed his story to say that he had stuck around for a little bit while waiting in his car out front. David saw Brad pull up with a mysterious gentleman in his passenger seat. Brad and identified booty call went inside, and a short time later, David heard two gunshots. Afraid that he might be the next target, David sped away and went on with his day like nothing had happened. Which is not suspicious at all,
totally
right? You
innocent.
Just go, well, my
totally
friend got
innocent.
Killed. Let's go home and get a weed whacker, right? Like...
And head back over later that
head
day.
Head back
and act
over
surprised
later
that it
and just kind of make sure. This is one of David's stories.
Yeah, he'd switched it a minimum of three times.
Yes.
Police continued to press David for information, causing him to switch up his story yet again. This time, David had actually followed the two men into the house, and David personally witnessed the mysterious stranger kill Brad. The killer then pointed the gun at David and told him if he told anyone what happened, he would be next. He said that the guy threatened to kill him and tell his wife about the affair that him and Brad had been having. Police called David out on his bullshit, so he switched his story one more time. In David's next version of the story, he confessed that he had actually been the one to shoot Brad, but it was for a good reason. He had gone to Brad's house that day to recover some money Brad had taken from him, which was why the house had been ransacked. While he was searching for the money, Brad came home, and the two of them got in a heated argument about their relationship.
Putting people at Brad's house to tell me to get killed was past three.
I was not telling Brad was killed.
You were at his house.
Yes, sir.
I'm the murderer.
Where?
God, you know exactly when he was killed.
Yes, sir, I know.
God.
This don't have to be the end of your life. You got a chance to come clean and tell me you're a damn shit.
Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. We're past. It's okay. We'll do this together. Tell me what happened.
He sure will. He had another guy with him. I don't know who he was. I don't know his name. I swear on everything. It's cold right now.
What happened next?
He went in the garage.
It's okay.
He's trying to think now.
Yep.
So he's crying. So aggravating. I can't. Okay. So.
What a bitch.
The last story.
You can tell he's trying to think, though, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it looks like it.
Yes. Doing the crying thing. He was so scared.
Stops in mid-sentence and just thinks like, oh, yeah, and there was another guy there,
too. There was another guy. Then he asks him, the police is like, what did this guy look like? He said he was about your height and dirty. Dirty.
Exactly Brad's type.
Yep, just a small, dirty man.
Another dirty coal miner.
Because he is just grabbing at straws at this point. When he came into this interrogation, he came in because he had pictures on his phone that he had took of the scene that he wanted to show. And he's thinking he's just going to, you know, tell him that, you know, he was going to get the weed whacker, say that whole thing.
Yeah.
What he doesn't know. And so he's not prepared for this at all. So he has to cry a lot. So he's saying during the argument, they got, so the last story that he tells is a self-defense, right? Of he goes over there to confront Brad about some money. And during the argument, Brad pressured David to divorce his wife so they could be together. But David refused. In a rage, because as we know, Brad, fun-loving, beloved Brad.
But major temper problems.
We know he can rage out, right? So he rages and grabs a handgun, he says. But Brad attacked David, and the two began to scuffle. During the fight, Brad pulled out a handgun and pointed it at David. Where he got it, I don't know, he just had it on him. He was ready to take a nap. Strapped,
concealed amongst his persons.
Concealed.
But boy, it was his sex gun. It's the gun that you always carry around for sex.
Yes. Oh, he's talking about his penis.
yeah, pulled out his gun. So Brad pulls out the gun, pointed it at David, once again demanding that he leaves his wife. Does this sound like Brad to you, right? David was able to wrestle the gun away from Brad and charged him once again. David gets the gun from Brad. Brad lunges at him, and then David shot him in self-defense.
In the back of the head.
Two times in the back of the head. Yeah,
two times in the back of the head. We call that the guy, old Clinton.
This guy, clearly. I mean, this was... I mean, it's just none of it's panning out. But they're like, all right, dude. So the police still weren't buying it. The detective conducting the interrogation helpfully pointed out that if David had shot Brad while he was charging at him, the gunshot wounds wouldn't have been in the back of Brad's head. There was also no sign of a struggle in the basement where Brad's body was found. For one final time, police called David out on his bullshit and charged him with the murder of Brad McGarry.
Blammo. Well, so I know you're not going to like this, but you... If you fuck with a man's marriage, you should be killed.
Yeah, so I think probably the great point.
They're
both pieces of shit.
David's side.
You guys are saying this fun and flirty guy is so perfect. No, he didn't give a shit about a marriage.
Oh, he's a homewrecker for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Homewreckers. Shoot him.
So I think probably he went over there. Brad was like, look, you've got to tell your wife. And if you don't tell her, I'm going to tell her. And David was probably like, I can't have that happen. We can't.
Yeah.
You're not going to keep this secret from me. I know I can keep it. And the only way to keep a secret between two people.
You got to kill one of them.
Yeah. Right. David Kinney was put on trial in February of 2018. After a short trial, he was convicted of premeditated murder of Brad McGarry and sentenced to life without parole, plus an additional 3 years. David is serving out his sentence in Noble Correctional Institution in Caldwell, Ohio.
Why tack the 3 years on at the end of it?
I know. It's already life without parole. Plus two.
Yeah.
It's like life plus three. Okay.
All right.
Logistics,
so you're going to keep the corpse for another 3 years after he dies?
Yeah.
The gun that was used to shoot him, they never recovered the murder weapon, but it was a .22 long rifle caliber, and they're pretty sure that it was a Derringer. So, like, literally the gayest possible gun you can think of is a .22 Derringer.
Right.
And I just imagine that David was probably carrying it in, like, a little fanny pack or something like
sure.
that. Sure. Stop right there.
You better stop it right there, mister. You know.
Damn.
I think the couple things with this case is, like, this motherfucker, David, killed Brad, knew he was dead, went back home, grabbed his wife and his child, and took them to a scene where he knew that his 13-year-old was going to find and see a murdered uncle.
Yeah.
Like, that's another part of it that, like, this guy is just such a piece of
that's
shit.
Shitty.
And if, so closeted that, like, he, I mean, went to these lengths, yeah. Right?
And denial, considering that,
extreme denial.
Yeah, considering that his daughter saw the body also, she's 13 years old. This guy has been David's best friend for the last, like, 9 years or so. That yeah. means that pretty much all of her memories involve
yes.
Brad. Like, Brad was
so
a...
She was, I mean,
her uncle.
Distraught. And her dad did that to her.
Mom, Dad was fucking Uncle Brad?
What they also did was allow David to tell his wife himself in the interrogation room. But it's all recorded, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that part she...
Probably on that video, but...
Let me see if I can find it.
She was not thrilled.
So if you find anything on that video that's him and another lady in the interrogation, and she's just like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, I think, she just say, like, are you fucking kidding me or something like that?
Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm sure she was a little bit suspicious, which is probably why it got to this point of, like, she's going to find out and, you know, the heightened anxiety of that. And
there's nothing on this video.
Nothing on this video. But
yeah, as far as I know, at one point she did actually talk to David and say that it was strange that him and Brad were so close, like wanted to know if there was something else going on. So there yeah. definitely was suspicion on her.
There was
part.
Suspicion, and it was leading up to this moment that
David
happened.
David would come home from work with Brad's lipstick on his collar.
Yeah.
Things like that.
And this is our Pride Month episode.
Oh yeah.
And in a world
happy Pride
of
Month.
Happy Pride Month. You know, and again, you know, to be an out coal miner.
Out and proud.
In that little town in Ohio, 2017. Height of Trump, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's pretty badass.
You gotta give him props for that.
You gotta give him props for being totally himself. But, you know, you're right. He was out, but he could not choose the right people.
Wait, I think I found it. Is she a redhead?
If there's a lady in the interrogation,
it's like this. Oh shit! Yeah, it's
if there's
no,
a lady
Joel,
in the interrogation room with him, then it's that.
You yeah, can only see like the back of a woman's
yes,
head.
Yeah, that's
she's
the one.
She's being recorded, but the camera is like at the top of her head.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
I need to know that you have my back, and that everything I'm telling you is the truth.
No, you got to tell me first.
And I love you and the kids. I don't want you to be there for me. Okay. Brad had another gun at the house. He had a .22 there in here. I went to Brad's house to meet up with him after the wedding. He was fighting with me because he had some money come up missing, and I didn't take no money off of Brad. I never stole money from Brad. He always gave me money.
You're done to be.
Listen, just listen to me. I went to his house and I told him, I said, listen, from here on out, it's just friends. You can't be anything.
He went to end
Brad.
It.
Just, you know, I'm both with me. Okay?
He
flipped out. Right. Listen to me. Please just let me talk, Sherry. Will you please let me
because
talk?
Because I'm orchestrating the story, so you just have to let me talk, right?
Before he even did that, he slapped me around a little bit after I told him this was it. Okay?
You are kidding.
Listen.
I can't even look at you.
He came at me with that gun, okay? He came at me with that gun because I told him he wanted me to leave you guys. I told him no, he'd come at me with that gun. I defended myself.
No,
Sherry, I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Okay. I'm sorry, Sherry.
I know.
What would you do? Oh. Someone come at you, babe. What would you do if someone come at you?
She's not upset about that, dude. She
yeah,
just
dude.
Said you're fucking a dude.
Yeah.
Dude, there's a lot of things you're putting on her right now. you are witnessing the breakdown of a woman. I mean, she is just like, what the fuck?
Me and our daughter there.
Oh, yeah, I feel bad about that.
And this is why being gay is wrong.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
You were a little farter? You were a little farter? Yeah. So, I mean, it's heart-wrenching, this whole thing, because it's just like...
I feel bad for her, man.
Yeah. And then she gets mad at Brad, right? But, like, she loves him, but she's now mad at the dead guy. You know, it's like she has... is going
you're
through.
You're feeling everything. That is a nightmare cocktail of...
And you're going through in your mind feelings. All the times that you were like, oh my God, like what?
I sucked his cock that day.
And you know, this seems like it would be an easy case to do a prolapse, but out of respect, out of respect for Brad, I'm not going to do that, okay?
But. So no prolapse?
No prolapse.
Okay.
All right, we're not doing
a doing a prolapse.
Wait.
Coop, you did not die and you did not barf.
I'm actually feeling better now.
See?
I think I got whatever it was out of my system right before the show.
All right. Well, Joel is disappointed that he wasn't able to get his barf take.
I got it. I did it.
You got, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you knew it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
You want something done, right? You got to do it yourself.
You just got to do it yourself.
What a show, you guys.
What a show.
What a mess.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.